Just want to ask the teens to come on down to the front here, make your way down. And while they're doing that, I want to, of course, recognize some other. Brother Jay went with us, Brother Jay Lewis, and that was a great time. I really appreciate Brother Jay going, and we had a great time together. And I don't know if he appreciated me as his roommate as much as I appreciated him, but no, we had a great time. And then Christine Duez, and then her son Richard. There's Richard back there. I've seen him come in, and we appreciate them so very, very much. And of course, my wife, she's not here tonight. I think we might have brought back a little bit of some kind of bug from Nicaragua that's been going around in our family a little bit. She's a little under the weather tonight, so of course, pray for her. And then a couple of young people that aren't here with us right now. Seth's not here tonight, right? Okay, we'll hear from him. Of course, Seth Krushak and Angeline Charles. Now, a lot of you don't know her. She's a real quiet young lady. She sits over here in this section on Sunday morning. She goes to Ridge Community High School, and she's one of the sweetest young Christian ladies I know. And she doesn't have a lot of support from the family. And so everything she does for church and the Lord and everything, she does on her own. I think she's going into the 12th grade. And she approached us a while back, and she wanted to go, and she was a blessing. She's a very, very spiritual young lady, and we'll see if we can't maybe get her here the next time we finish off the testimonies. But and then Sharon, how do you say your last name, brother?
Bazillion.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, just what he said. Bazillion. I always say bazillion. And she was a blessing too. She's back home now. And then Hannah Krushak, who's up there at Pensacola, she went with us as well. And I want to say that all the young people did a great job, and we're very, very proud of them and proud of the testimony they had there as far as the standards and things like that. Not a problem at all, not one problem. You can be proud of the young people that went. They did a great job representing the Lord, representing our church, and representing, of course, our young people. I mean, a great job. You'd be very, very proud of them, and I am, and I appreciate them. They're few and far between. And you think in a church as big as ours, we'd have a lot of great young people. We got a lot of good young people, but we don't have a lot of great young people. But I think these young people really... I'm very, very proud of them. Now, I love all of our young people. I really do. But for them to take the step, take time out, and then fundraisers and all kinds of things, they really had to be unselfish about this, and they were. And their attitudes kind of personified that during our trip, and we're very proud of them. We'll hear from them in a little bit. And also, I'd like to say, before I forget, thank you to all of those who helped out and sponsored some of our young people. Your money was very, very well spent, very well spent. The young people really, they worked hard, and they represented the Lord well. And for the last few weeks, our youth group, or the assembly on Sunday mornings, the teen assembly, would take up an offering just about every Sunday, a little bit of a special offering for down there for the missions trip. And we had used some of it, and then I had some that I was just going to give to Pastor Jorge when we met him at the airport. And unfortunately, they got there after we went through security, so I was able to wire that to him today, and I got a response from him, and he's excited. He said this was his response. He said we had been praying for some specific needs within our church, and I got your message. And it is exactly what we needed. So that was exciting. But here's how we're going to do this. I know a couple of them are real nervous, but I want to first of all ask Hector to come on up. You come on up for a second. Let me say something about him. First of all, come on up. He was our interpreter or interrupter or whatever you want to call it, and he actually had to interpret. We had a very kind of an important meeting with one of the pastors down there. And he had to go from being 16, 17 to about 25 in about 5 minutes because he had to kind of interpret certain things that we wanted to say to the pastor and back and forth. It was almost like a business meeting type thing. Did a great job. And we appreciate him so very, very much. and he interpreted just about every time we preached, except with the exception of maybe once or twice, and we're proud of him. So we're going to hear from him first. Hector, you come on, and why don't you go ahead and stay down there.
All right, well, it was a very, very amazing trip. Not just fun, but it was also life-changing, just as last year's. I can't really tell which one was better. They were both amazing. And as he said, I was translating. I was really nervous the first night because I had never done it before. I was just about to go crazy. I was like, oh, no, I've never done this before. And but I got up there, and the Lord guided me through it. I did really well. And after the first night, I was really excited to translate the messages because I was able to get into it and just kind of have fun with it. And it was very useful, but at times it was very tiring because I would be translating like for Pastor Jorge. And for Brother Pastor, Brother Donahue, then someone else would call me here, then someone else over there, and I'd be like, ugh. It was crazy, but I was able to handle it, and the Lord helped me. And we went to the garbage dump just like last year. And the reason why I pull this story up is because when we passed out the clothes, we also passed out gum and tracks. And we passed out tracks every day, but when I went, when we were passing out the tracks over there, it was just, it was like a piece of my burden was just being taken off. It was just, I just wanted to pass out more and keep on going. I didn't want to stop passing out tracks. And the people there are, the little services that we would have, and we would pass out food, when they looked like they were so happy. And I would just think, how would they be so happy when they have so little? And it's because God's with them. And it was just amazing to see that. I was requested to tell this story by someone. On the way back, we were in Panama waiting for our flight. And while the first group was waiting for our flight, we were going to get back to Florida at like 1 in the morning. This Muslim man and his two wives and children come in and they buy their ticket. And I can tell they were Muslims by the way they were dressed. And it just made me so nervous right when I saw them. Okay, they're buying their ticket, and right when I see the man, I couldn't take my eyes off him. I was so nervous. And Brother Donahue noticed it. He looked at me, he's like, Hector, you're staring at him. I'm like, I know, I'm just so nervous right now. Especially since our plane had plenty of fuel. It was crazy. I was so nervous, but it was a great flight back, and I just can't wait to go next year, and hopefully I can interpret next year again, or being the interrupter. And it was just a great trip.
All right, thank you, Hector. He was part of the group that only had a 2-hour layover in Panama. We had a 15-hour layover. But we made the best of it. We got to go see the Panama Canal and everything. I want to say that the first thing when we first got there, we got off the plane, we got to the hotel, checked in, and within an hour or two, we were in a neighborhood where there was a public school. And I don't know, it was later in the day. I think maybe their classes go a little bit later. But we asked the principal if we could sing and maybe preach for him. He said, sure. As a principal of a public school here, within about 10 minutes, he had the whole, looked like about a middle school, maybe elementary and middle school. He had all the kids. He brought them under the pavilion they had there and sat them down in rows. And we were able to sing and preach to them and had several of them saved. And that was the first day we got there. And we hit the ground running. And at times we were exhausted. There's a 2-hour difference, and that may not seem like a lot, but when you're there, it feels like 8 o'clock, but it's 6 o'clock, and it's. We had a great time. Next, Milana. You think you can? Milana, this was her first year, and she just did a great job.
Hi, good evening. This is my first year going to Nicaragua, and. It was really amazing. When I first when I was going, I didn't really prepare myself mentally because I figured it was going to be, like, it wasn't going to be that hard. And but it kind of was for me because I'm used to AC and I don't really like bugs and I really don't like the sun. But it was just, it was so much sun. But I got through it, thank God, because, but it was really draining, like the sun. But other than that, it was really worth it because we got to preach the gospel and we got to give out tracts and stuff. And people did get saved. I believe a lot of people did get saved. We couldn't really count how many because, you know, tracts, they work. And but other than that, something that was really memorable for me, well, it was kind of sad. We were at a gas station. Our favorite gas station over there was over on the Run, and it was the best one there because they sold food. So we went there, and outside there was this girl who was a beggar, and she looked like she was about 11 years old, and she kept coming back to the gas station asking for more, but the security guard kept kicking her out and took her by the shirt and kicked her out, and it was really sad because she, it's kind of like, it was like child abuse in a way, and that made me kind of sad. But on the good side, I was on the 15-hour layaway thing in Panama, and Mrs. Pouts and I got to speak to this woman over there, and she only spoke Spanish, and we speak very little Spanish, but God used us to communicate to her, and she understood what we were saying, and we passed that. We gave a tract to her, and she was reading it in front of us, and we just explained it to her, and she just got it, and then later on, she got comfortable, so I was talking to her later for like almost half an hour, and it was just great, you know, because I don't know Spanish, but this definitely encouraged me to learn it all the way so I can speak it fluently. I just want to say thank you to everybody here. Thank you to all the adults who looked out for us. And I really appreciate Landmark. Thank you.
Lana did a great job, and everywhere, they both mentioned, everywhere we went, the kids were handing out tracts. We handed out tracts everywhere and tried to witness the best that we could, and it was just amazing to see that. Another thing was every morning we had devotions there at the hotel. We'd meet out by the pool, and there were some tables out there, and one morning Brother Donahue gave a devotion, and Brother Jay and myself, and it was good to see the kids coming a little bit earlier than devotion time, reading their Bibles, and really getting focused about what we were doing over there, and that was another exciting part of it. All right, let me see, Nathan, you ready? Come on up.
My name is Nathan. This is my second year. What? We're good. All right. Well, this is my second year going to Nicaragua. It was another great year. I get the question a lot, which year was better, this year or last year? It's hard to tell, because last year you get everything as a first experience. Then this year you just go back and the same people are there, and you get to see them just living their lives and being happy with it. A few things. Hector, he mentioned he was tired. I believe him, because we had to group up in our rooms. And there were four of us in our room, and Hector is in mine. And time after time, I'd walk in, he's asleep and talking at the same time. And the funniest thing, though. We've got to realize more the fact that we take a lot for granted here where we're at. Because if you took the average American and put them where we were in the best hotel there in the country. I mean, 5-star, and it's still not what an American standard would be. But if you took the average American and put him in there, he probably wouldn't last too long. With the food that they have, there's hardly any AC. And I just, got more to realize the fact that we take a lot for granted and that we should be thankful more for what we have. And with the missions gauge that we do here at the church, something to prove to you that every penny that you give is worth it. Everywhere we went, we had kids asking us for anything, whether it be food or money or clothes. If you gave them a coin, they were happy with it. And American dollar, if we gave them that, it was like they found gold. And it just shows me how much that whatever you can give, whether it's small or big, it's going to help in some way. And not just in Nicaragua, but all around the world. We got to go to many different places, a few new places this year. And we got to go to one church on a Sunday morning, and that was a lot different because the church was long. And I know some people probably wouldn't last in there because they started about 10 o'clock and got out about 2:30. So, and they did everything. They did the Lord's Supper. They did a lot of stuff, and it was new to us. So it was enjoyable, though. We got to share testimonies and sing to them, and they loved to hear us sing in English. So we skipped the whole Spanish singing and just went to that, because they didn't care for the Spanish music. So another thing, our driver, Orlando, he's a part of a tour group, and they go to Texas a lot, and we're thankful for him. He got up early every morning just to take us wherever we needed to go, and his dad's a pastor down there, and a big, big church. We went there on the last night, and that was a blessing to go there. And overall, I'd like to thank everybody that helped us out. I had two sponsors that basically paid my whole trip, and that was Coach Cohn, and I thank him for helping me out, and a pastor friend of mine in South Carolina. And I thank y'all for praying for us, and hopefully next year we'll have another good trip.
Amen. Thank you, Nathan. That was good. I forgot to mention one of our college students went with us, David Serafini. He's back home in Pennsylvania. I guess the first day, or I guess for the last year, Brother Jay had been calling him Randy. And so that's what we called him, Randy. His name was David, but we called him Randy. And he did a good job, too. He represented the college pretty good, and we're proud of him. Also, just a couple of things. You ought to see the Nicaraguan ATMs they have. It works like this. And Jay got in on this a little bit, too. You pull up to the side of the road, you got your American money, a man with a wad of about this big of Nicaraguan money pulls out his little calculator, and there you exchange your money right there on the side of the road. I think we filmed it. It didn't bother them at all that we filmed them doing it. They're just, you know, that's how you do it. You don't go to a machine or you don't go to a bank. You just go to the side of the road and catch the money changers. I don't think they did it on Sunday, though. I think they took Sundays off. But I don't know, Pastor, if you'd appreciate this or not, but their ticket system is like, if you get a speeding ticket or a traffic violation, it's pretty good. I mean, you don't have to go to court or anything. You just pay the police officer right there, and you can go on your way. He likes American money, though. He didn't like the... We did actually get pulled over, and our driver said, I could, what little Spanish I understand, he was saying, Iglesia Group, Cristiano, and that cop wouldn't have nothing to do with that. And so I looked out the mirror, and I saw Brother Donahue slipping our driver, I think it was about $5, which is about a day's wages over there, and that's what it cost us. No red tape or anything, just paid the officer and went our way. But I think that happens quite often out there. Let me see. Ruth Ann, you ready? Come on up.
Hi. This is my second year going on the mission trip, but at the beginning of the year, I wasn't going to be going because of some financial reasons, and also my mom wasn't going. I'm just kidding, but I wasn't going to be going. But Rebecca kept saying, oh, you need to go, you're going to regret it and stuff. And so I just kept praying about it, and I was like, all right, God, if you really want me to go, then just show me a sign. And within like the next couple of days, my mom had come up to me, and she was like, oh, hey, your grandpa bought your plane ticket. And I was like, okay, I'm going to Nicaragua. But I'm still glad I went. I would have definitely regretted it. It was really great. And being able to see some of the same people I saw last year was just really good. And even though I didn't speak much, or I don't speak much Spanish, and they don't speak much English, we were still able to somewhat communicate with either using Hector or like hand motions. But it was really good. And as Brother Palitz was saying, like, thank God for Hector, because without him, we would have been lost. And this year, I think we were all expecting like a bigger vehicle for transportation. And when it got there, it was the same one we had last year. And I was like, oh goodness, this is not gonna be good. But it actually turned it out pretty good. We all grew so much closer to each other, like literally. But it was really good. Like one time we were just sitting in the parking lot and Ms. Fouts was like, I think we need to sing. So we all just started singing praises to God. And like it was really good. And we were all just like harmonizing. It was really cool. And also, if we didn't have that vehicle, we wouldn't have had the same driver as we did last year, Orlando. He was like really cool, and we were able to go to his church and have that experience. And while we were there, there was also a missions group there, and it just showed me that like we're not the only ones out there serving the Lord and doing what's right, that there's other people out there. And I just want to thank you all for all your prayers and donations. We wouldn't have been able to go without y'all, and thank you.
She mentioned that missions group that was there. It was when we pulled up, you can tell right away who's American and who's not, and it's just something to be able to go ahead. They were from Tennessee, actually, so it was something to be able to just to talk, to hear another person speak, aside from our group, hear another person speaking the language. And you know, there were times when Hector wasn't around, if we were at the store and trying to buy some, even the smallest things that you try to do, I mean, are sometimes difficult, because they'll say something to you and you'll look at them like, I have no idea what you just said. And but you muddle through. But it was that was good. That was a good testimony. Caleb, come on up.
Hi. You all know this is our second year going back there, and the first year, like I think Nathan had mentioned before, it was all new to us. And it was all great. You had the whole emotional experience, but I think going back was even a better advantage because we knew everybody, and we got to go back and to see everybody that we had seen before and to see how they're doing. And especially it was Pastor Jorge's church. You know, it was like one of our favorite churches, or our favorite church to go to there. You know, they're all nice. They're all selfless people, and all they want to do is help, even though they have a lot less than us. So you know, it's incredible to see. And one of the funny things that happened was that we went to this one place last year, and it was out in the middle of the woods somewhere. And I got this plastic bottle. Did the little trick where you twist the plastic bottle, and you pop the cap off, and it was fine. It makes a loud noise. And we came back this year, and these little kids were, they're running up to me. He's like, do the thing with the bottle again. I'm like, dude, that was a year ago. So you do something there, they remember it for a while. But it's just like that with everything. They remember everything that you did last year, and they remember and they appreciate everything that you do so much. So it's nice to know that you're that deeply appreciated. And I'd just like to thank everyone that supported me, to go there. And Coach Cohn, you also supported me, so thank you very much for that. And everyone else who prayed for us while we were there. And it was an amazing experience to go back there this year too. And thanks to Hector, because he ran around everywhere trying to translate to, everywhere we go, Hector, come here, Hector, tell me what you said, Hector's like, I didn't hear him, we'll say it again, so, but, it was quite an experience. And then finally, myself, the heat, the humidity, I grew up in Central Florida, I'm used to it, but that daggum rice and beans every day, I could not live there. I wanted a hamburger by the end of the week. I can only take so much rice and beans. I was like that last year, too, but, it's a... it's a good experience to have, and I would advise everyone to get the opportunity like that to do it. So, yeah.
When we were at the church Sunday night, Orlando, our driver's dad's church, it was a great church. He preached a message on hell, a tremendous message. But we got up and gave testimonies, and Caleb gave his whole testimony in Spanish. I don't know how in the world he did that, but I didn't know he knew that much, and he did a great job. And I didn't know he could speak it. He spoke it pretty fluently, pretty good, and did a pretty good job. Although you heard him every once in a while, just like the rest of us, yelling for Hector. What'd they say? And Hector did a great job. All right, you ready? Miss Rebecca, come on up.
I hate being last, but I guess I have a whole 15 minutes, yeah? So everybody turning your Bibles to, okay, no. Seriously though, I'd like to start off by saying thank you to everyone who gave this year so that we could go on this trip. We definitely couldn't have done it without you, but most importantly, all of those of you who prayed for us while we were there. We didn't have any serious injuries or, nothing seriously went wrong. I mean, besides the ticket that we got, but that was all okay. Honestly, I was really scared this time, and I didn't realize it until, we were about to land in Nicaragua. And not because last year's landing wasn't that great, but just because I started panicking. I was like Milana said, I did felt like I wasn't mentally ready for it. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't think I'm ready to face all the poverty again, see all the pain and the suffering, and to see the little kids running around and without parents and or shoes or food. And I was like really starting to get nervous about that. So I just prayed about it. And before I knew it, we were already at the hotel and we were waiting on Orlando, which was the best van driver ever. And we were at Pastor Jorge's church after a while, and I really appreciated their church. And like everyone said, it was my favorite. But the people there were just so sweet and so giving, even though they really had nothing. They always sang from their hearts, and you could tell just by standing there, and most of it was a cappella. But it was just so beautiful because everyone was singing from their hearts, even if they sang off tune. It was just really, really sweet to see. And they really didn't have too much. They don't really have a roof. It's more just sticks on the ground. And some kind of thing on top, and then palm fronds over that. What was it? Yeah. But they're so sweet and so giving and really encouraging. And Mr. Pouts said, we went over to the public school to start with. Yeah, you wouldn't see that too much in America. But they all just gathered around, and it was during the evening, and they were all just really eager to hear what we had to say and to learn. And that was really sweet to see. That was a really big blessing to me. And we went through the week, and Friday, we got to go back to the dump there, the city dump in Nicaragua. And that's probably one of the biggest burdens on my heart there. The people live there, and you'll see their houses made out of pool tarp or the lining from the pools and stuff. It was just really sad to see. And they work there. And they try to find recyclable goods in this mountain of trash. And you'll see the parents working in there, and then you'll see little kids running around trying to either help their parents, or maybe they're just playing. But it's just really sad to see. And we got there, and we're all just standing there, and nobody's saying anything, because you don't know what to say. It's just nothing you've ever seen before. And we're just almost soaking it in. And Hannah kind of broke my silence, and she's for a little bit, I was really wishing that God would come back and just take all this away, but a lot of these people would be in a worse place. And I didn't think about that. And it was just really sad to think about that. And I think that's one of the biggest burdens on my heart. And it's definitely not my last time there. So I thank all of y'all for supporting us this year and last year. We couldn't have gone without a sending church, so it took all of y'all. And it took the first time for us to come back this time, and we'll be back again, I guarantee that. And if you ever get a chance to go on a missions trip, I think you should go. Thank you.
Just a couple of things, and I'm going to ask Brother Donahue to come on up and maybe close us out. But I did a little research on that. It's a very famous dump, by the way. It's got its own name and everything. It's the biggest open landfill in Central America. I think Central and South America. It's about 7 kilometers, a little over 3 miles long, and about a mile wide. And I don't know if you know anything about landfills, but I know that a lot of stuff drains down, a lot of the nasty stuff, and it's right next to the lake. They've got one of the most beautiful lakes that you'd ever seen as far as the view goes. And I asked our driver, Orlando, if he, well, I actually had to do like sign language. I didn't really ask him because we didn't understand. We're good friends, but we don't know what. And I said, do you ever swim in that? And he said, no way. Pollution. The whole lake, because everything, any kind of factory or anything like that, they just dump their sludge and everything right into the lake there, and that's how they live. One of the nights there was a power outage, which was very unusual. In the church we were going to, the night, I think it was Wednesday night that we went to the church, maybe Thursday night, and there was a power outage. So this was Brother Jorge's church, so we all had candles. And we had a candlelight service. The only problem was, when power goes out in that church, Pastor, the dirt floor becomes, the whole floor almost starts moving on its own because all the ants come out. And I could see through the candlelight some of the girls that were standing in the front. They were reaching down and slapping their legs and everything. And had they seen how many ants were actually on the floor, they probably wouldn't have stayed in the building. The pastor showed me while the lights were out. He went over by a hole in the floor, and there were just thousands of them. But we got through that, and we actually had a great service that night. I was actually able to do a pretty good illustration with the candles and everything, and then just as soon as the invitation started, the power came back on, and that truly was a blessing. And I'm going to say this before I turn it over to Brother Donahue, that young people, if you get a chance, you need to go on a missions trip. I think it's important. I think it's important that you try and raise the money yourself, do what you can, write letters, you know, like these young people did. We're proud of them for doing that. But most people get called as a missionary by going and seeing the mission field itself. And even if you don't get called as a missionary, it'll make you understand every time you see that. It'll make you understand that a little bit more. One of our young people already mentioned it. You'll understand that a lot more, that gauge, and why we give, why our church gives to missions and supports people all around the world. And I want to encourage as many who can, think about taking a trip, a missions trip. It's just a wonderful experience, and you'll draw closer to the Lord, and it'll be a spiritual experience as well. But Donya, if you could come on up.
I want to clarify a couple of things. Brother Pout said his wife is home under the weather. In Australia, she'd be drunk. That's what it is to be drunk in Australia. But anyway, I want to say something about Rachel Pouts. She was there, I mean, telling stories. It was exciting. It reminded me of years ago watching Linda Tyler. And Rachel was doing, just like her mom did here in Children's Church for many years, she was telling me stories in English, and Hector's over there acting like different animals and stuff, telling the stories. It was hysterical. But you know, we knew the story, and the kids were just amazed watching her and listening to Hector. It was just great. And Rachel knows quite a bit of Spanish too, and she was able to help us a little bit with the interpreting. But what a blessing, you know, that the story about the Muslim on the plane, it gets a little better. I mean, these two big Muslims, they got on the plane and they went to first class, and their wife and kids went back behind us. But I didn't know they were behind us, you know. So we get up to leave, and I said to whoever was standing next to me, I said, where did Osama go? And yeah, and they go like this, and I said, where'd he go? And they said, his wife is right behind you. You know, she had all you could see was her eyes. You know, they had the mask thing on. But it was quite an experience for us. But we watched over 200 people get saved. It was just an amazing time. Christina gave told stories, and because she can do the, she's very animated with the sign language, and she was telling stories, and the kids were just, they couldn't get enough of it. And Richie was there with us. Every time he turned around, he had the camera going. He'd be popping up from behind a wall, taking a picture, and through the trees, taking pictures. And it was, when we have the presentation, you'll see some of the great things that everybody had a part in this thing, and it was such a blessing. And we had some setbacks in our ministry, but we're continuing on. But God is blessing us. We're opening up a children's home in the downtown area, and we're just watching God work. God hasn't released us, and we have a burden to continue on, but we could not go without this church. And it's a privilege to be able to go somewhere and say, I'm from Landmark Baptist Church. And to see the people, they look and they go, yeah, I saw that on the internet, or I saw it here, I saw a service, and, oh, I love your pastor, and what a blessing. They don't even speak English, and they're explaining these things to us. But the influence of this church is not only here, but all over the world, and it's exciting. And I'm honored to be able to have a part in it and watch young people. Hannah gave a testimony down there, and she said that when she graduates, she wants to go back down. Am I correct on this? She wants to go back down and work with an orphanage in Nicaragua. That's what it's all about, folks. We get people that get a burden for missions at a young age, and you just never know what God's going to do. But it was a blessing. I was excited to go with them, and I'm getting a little too old to be trying to keep up with these guys. But when they talked about being packed into that van, I felt like I was in the New York City subway again. We were wall-to-wall people, you know, and one person would say, wait a minute, I got to scratch, and everybody had to lean over so the person could scratch. You know? but what they say in New York, that if there was ever a crash, everybody would be safe because nobody could move and get bounced around. So we were pretty safe, like sardines in the van. All right. Oh, as we went up to the site where the children's home is or was, we pulled up to the bus, and the bus, the kids were packed out, hanging out the windows. You couldn't get any more in there. It looked like Brother Vaselli's bus on the anniversary day, you know, and the bus went charging right through the water and through the mud. And then I said, we can do it. And they go, no way. Everybody's afraid. I would have tried it, you know. I figured we had enough young guys to be able to push me out if I got stuck. But anyway, they were afraid to do it, and they had to send a truck back for us, a steak truck. And there we were like cattle, standing up in the truck with all the luggage that we had, were full of clothing and the food and the bubble gum. And we had to go through this mud down this dirt road. It was a riot. I mean, we had a great time. But again, can you imagine what they would do with about five buses if they had one packed out that way? But it was a blessing. The church services, like that they said, they went for hours. They do their services by the calendar rather than by the clock. They just keep going and going and going. But it was tremendous. And, I mean, they had a morning service. They churched two people. And they had the Lord's Supper, you know, which we didn't get involved in, but they had all these things going on and during the service. And then one guy was leaving the church, and he had to go and shake hands with everybody in the church. I wouldn't have had that way. But anyway, they had, this guy was leaving because he was upset with something. He went around shaking hands with all the different people, and it was different. It sure was unique. So, but anyway, it was great, and we really were blessed, and all you people that helped us with the yard sales, donating things so we could sell them, it was just such a blessing, because some of these young people could never have made it without those sales going on. And just let me just say this one last thing. When I got back, I was having chest pains pretty bad. I went to the doctor, and they were going to run some tests, and they ran the test on Monday, and I had five different tests, and they said my heart's good. So I guess it was the rice and beans. I don't know, but I didn't tell too many people about it. I asked some folks to pray.